Today I'm going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 12, and I'll read from verse 24. Verily, verily, the Lord Jesus says, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. What shall we say? What words are quickly used and seldom and wisely employed? We've all suffered. Maybe we have been guilty of this ourselves, or we have been on the receiving end of someone being very quick to give their opinion and to give their response. And I guess what we've been going through as a country and a world in the last few weeks, that one of the difficulties that we do face is that it seems from every angle, maybe even from our own hearts, and we've gone back a bit on our thoughts and our thinking over the process of this whole occasion, that we are using our words very quickly and we have not taken time to pause and to think, because at times it is wise to say nothing and to wait on God and to see. Now, I readily admit there are many times that we should be speaking and we should be giving our thoughts which are in line to the word of God. However, there is always this need for discernment and wisdom at all times. If any man lack wisdom, we are told in Scripture, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. So words are a very important part of our life. We know this. Knowing what to say and when to say it is an important area of our Christian living. Now, this is especially comes into focus when we are in the midst of trouble and difficulties. I personally believe that when we are going through a personal crisis or a collective time of trouble and tribulation, it is far easier to be quicker with our words and with our sentences and with our opinions and our speeches than we may be on other occasions, because we are certainly led by our passions, we are influenced by our feelings, the circumstances are overwhelming us, and so we lose hold of maybe that control and that temperance which we have known beforehand. And when we are troubled, then the words begin to flood out of us, we might say. And so there's a need in that moment to be particularly alert and vigilant. I want us to think about one of these occasions in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ when he knew trouble, when trouble was mentioned concerning him. We come to John chapter 12, and already the Lord Jesus has told us about the necessity of death, and he's illustrated the need for his crucifixion and the sacrifice that he must give for the sins of his people by drawing our attention to what we see around us in nature and in creation. Verse 24, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's a tremendous picture of Christ, his death and his resurrection as the first fruits of ours. That there is a necessity for Christ to die and to die in the manner in which the Lord has appointed all of these things to be. And there is life which comes as a result. The Lord follows that on by challenging his people. If we love our life, we'll lose it. If we hate our life, we shall keep it. There is this great need to follow and to count the cost. In other words, these are very weighty matters which are being brought before the attention of the disciples and those that were listening to the Saviour at this time. Now, at such a moment as this, and on that occasion, when the thoughts and the attention of the people were most certainly seized and being gripped by the words of Christ. Listen to what he says in verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? It is without question the Lord, when he speaks about his soul being troubled, apart from showing us his true humanity. Remember, he is fully or wholly God and fully and wholly man. When he speaks of his soul and his body, he refers to his humanity. And we would expect this. We'd expect a troubling in the life of Christ. This is not rebellion. He's not rejecting the work of God. He's not saying, I don't want to do this. No, he, from all eternity, it's his pleasure and delight to fulfill and keep the law and the will of God. But from the perspective of his true and perfect humanity, he's not a robot. He's looking ahead to what is going to be of all that comprises his humiliation, that reaches its pinnacle, we might say, or its peak in the cross, and all of the suffering that's going to be there. So he's troubled in that sense. He understands what is ahead of him. Again, we would expect this to be the case. And we say, Lord, what will you say in the midst of your trouble? Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? It's a question. So that's how we can read the rest of the verse and the following verse. The Lord is putting a suggestion before us here. What do I say, though I am troubled? How do I respond, though I'm in the midst of this? And we will never go through trouble in such a manner that Christ did. And keep in mind, he's perfect and his impeccable life as well. And so very, very much sensitive to all of the troubles that were upon him. We are very much desensitized to an extent. We can almost take a degree of trouble without it being a concern to us. It's when it gets bigger and greater that it comes more into our thinking and into our world. Well, here is what the Lord says, and I want to break this down into two ways as I finish. What the Lord Jesus didn't say and what he did say. What did he not say? And there's a suggestion he's bringing this before the people. He asks a question again. What shall I say? Now, he gives this first option. Father, save me from this hour. Do I say that? I mean, I can go to God. I can address him as Abba Father. I can go to him. And of course, Scripture tells us that everyone can go to the Lord and cast their burden down and pour out their heart and cast all their care upon him. But do I say this? Do I say, save me from this hour? Now, in terms of the plan of salvation, God's redemptive work, that which he's been sent to do and what he will do, we know the Lord is not going to turn away from this. So he's not going to say, Lord, you know, let me escape from this hour, because he's come to do this. Indeed, he says it, for this hour or for this cause came I unto this hour. I've this reason I'm here. No, I'm not saying that as Christians we can never say, Lord, save me from my trouble. But what I will say is that maybe we should think of it differently. And instead of the first knee-jerk reaction being when we are in trouble, Lord, take the trouble away. Maybe understand that God has something to do through the trouble. Something's to be worked out in this time of need. And so we must be wise in how we speak to God. And that we submit our ways to him. So that's what he doesn't say. What he does say is what we should be saying. Verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. You see, this was the chief end of our blessed Saviour and is the chief end for all of us. When we are in trouble, the key area of concern is not really our own comfort, but the name of God, his honour and his glory. And if he's to be glorified in the Lord, preserving us and keeping us in our trouble, then so be it. And we say, Lord, glorify thy name. Let's pray. Father, at the beginning of this week, we ask that you would give us this mindset, this wisdom, that when we are in the midst of trouble and in time of need, that we shall come to thee and we say, Father, glorify thy name. Lord, draw near to us and keep us safe and put thy hand upon our world once again and bring it to thyself in faith and repentance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.